Good morning, all. Nice to be together. Nice to be in fellowship together and enjoy God's goodness and grace. Had an odd thing happen this week. Sometimes when you lose things, it can cause you to lose other things. I'd been dropping some pounds the last few months, and because of that, it's been intentional, but because of that, I had lost my wedding band earlier this week. I was evidently grabbing something out of my backpack and I lost my wedding band, so I was really bummed because I've been wearing this thing for almost 37 years. And so I didn't want to, I tried not to think about it because I would have probably just sat down and started crying, so I just tried not to think about it. But, I was real upset just at the loss of that, and, then this morning, I was just finishing up the message. It was very early this morning, very dark out, and I had the lights on in our guest room where I go down sometimes and study early on Sunday mornings. And I was kind of finishing up the message because it's a different message. It's a special message today because we're, you know, about to embark on this week of Thanksgiving. But I'm just finished that up, finished the last things of the message, and I'm putting my Bible away. And we had searched this place high and low, searched my car, tore everything apart, searched picking through trash, everything, looked all through the house. It was just horrible. Just the thought my, wedding ring is missing. It was just horrible. And you get weird things race through your mind. Oh my gosh, what other horrible things are going to happen if I'm able to lose my wedding band? What else bad could happen? So anyway, I'm finished. I'm putting my Bible away, and I have my backpack. There it is. It shined. The light just shined right. They sparkled, but I got so excited. I ran up, turned on all the lights in the house, woke Lo up. It's 5:30 this morning. I found it. And so I've got my wedding band back, and I've got a lot to be thankful for. That is just one of the many, many things. The only significant thing of it, it represents a commitment that I made before the Lord Jesus Christ and before my wife and a couple friends and a couple family members. Reverend John Wayne did our wedding. That's no joke, up in South Lake Tahoe. We were not walking with God at the time, but it took. Because God had a greater purpose and God had a plan. And I really take all that stuff serious and just find it a blessing to have found the ring. What once was lost is now been found. And so it said in the Bible that you go, who wouldn't if they found that, that coin or that pearl of great price, those things that mean so much, wouldn't go and tell their friends. And so that's what I've done. I've gone and told my friends. And so you can be thankful with me about that. Why don't you turn to Colossians this morning? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12 is where we'll pick it up. We're going to do a little bit of movement in the Bible, move around a little bit. Again, we would normally be in Isaiah chapter 30, finishing the second half of chapter 30. But this morning, we're going to kind of do a special message. And so next week, come on back and we'll catch the second half of Isaiah 30. But this morning, are you thankful? That's the first question mark. Are you thankful? Your life expression, what does your life exude, or what is the expression of your life? What would people say, oh yeah, that person really represents this, or that type of thing? What's the expression of your life? Is it that of what? You fill in the blank for you. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I would note verse 14 just for a moment. Make sure you note that in your mind. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, it doesn't matter what it is, anything, whatever it is that you do in word or deed, that kind of covers everything, right? So the things that we say and the actions of our lives, right? This is kind of covers everything. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when it says name like that, it's not just saying, hey, I'm doing this in Jesus' name. You're not getting the idea. When it says name like that, it's talking about the nature of the person. That's what the implication is. It's more the nature. Who is this? What is the nature of that name? What is the source and who, what does that represent? The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it as he would do it, or do it unto him, giving thanks again to God the Father through him. So what we kind of find here is it's a description in verse 12 through 17 of a new nature, a new creation that we have as Christians, right? We give our lives to the Lord, and now we are, the Bible says, a new creation in him. And this is a description, kind of concise description of this new nature, this new being, this new person that we are as followers now of God, as followers of Jesus Christ. That's our new nature. And part of that is being thankful. It mentions it a couple of times. We talked about it in this idea, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. This idea of being thankful, expression of gratitude, and we're going to talk about what that looks like a little bit in just a minute. But because of this new life, everybody as a follower of Christ, those who are, would label themselves as Christians, we are to live a life that is an expression of thanksgiving to God. That's what your life, and it's not just this week. I'm just keying in on it. It's to be the expression of a response to all that God has done for each one of us. So we're just responding back to this new nature. It's innate in us now. When you've been born again, that's part of your new nature, is to be thankful. It's part of being redeemed. It's part of the redemptive plan that you and I would be thankful. So it is a part of the new nature for each one of us as Christians. You would have to actually make an effort to suppress that and to slip into the old way, because that's part of your old DNA, not part of your new DNA as Christian. Does that make sense? Part of the new makeup of who we are is that we would have this expression of a thankful heart and a thankful life. So I just wanted to kind of start with that premise, that it's part of who we are. Thankful, or the aspect of what does it really mean to be thankful, or to develop that kind of a thought, is the act of expressing. This is the basic definition. It's simple. The act of expressing gratitude. And again, notice in word and deed, that those things that we do would bring glory to God. And what brings glory to God is that thankful expression from our lives and our hearts. It's so important that we see that as part of the new nature that we've been given. We do not live in a world that revolves like that, is it? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, and why that might be like that. So we've kind of got the idea set in our minds, but what is the, so the positive is we've got this new nature. What's the flip side of that? And then we'll go in and kind of build out from there. But what is the negative, unfortunate side of this? I would suggest that you go to 1 Corinthians. Again, we're going to move around a little bit. So if you're just getting familiar with your Bible, this is going to really help you, because you'll become more familiar with your Bible as you flip around and find these things and locate them. This is all good. This is good. This is what we do as Christians. We get familiar with our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 5. 1 Corinthians 10, 5. Now, Paul here is talking to them, wanting the Corinthian church, those believers there, to understand the benefits of all of the scriptures, not just the things that the apostles are saying, like what we have written in our New Testament, not just what they're speaking, but also the Old Testament scriptures as well, the value of the whole of the scriptures. In verse 5, it says, speaking of some Old Testament people who were delivered by God from Egypt and were to go and enter into the promised land, verse 5, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. And he says, but with most of them, that group that had been delivered out, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, why were they doing this? And we're going to see this in just a minute. In verse 7 it says, and do not become idolaters. They were idol or worshipers. The verse 8 says, nor let us commit sexual immorality. They lived lives that were not consistent with God's plan of one man, one woman. You know, they were living lives inconsistent with that. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. And this was because they were not thankful for the many blessings of God, his how he watched out over them. They misunderstood the blessing of marriage, and so then they were caught up in all this sexuality that was unhealthy. And then the first one, they're idol worshipers. They're worshiping the work of their own hands, whatever those things are, and they're worshiping these other things. They're because they're not grateful and thankful for who their God was, and so they're seeking other gods. You see? They're not grateful. All of these things are representative of a non-thankful or a ungrateful heart. Verse 10 says, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. So not only were they not thankful for the blessings of God, but they also murmured against God's provision and care for them. So the lack of being thankful kind of gets in our mind first, but then it starts coming through our being. And we start saying words and living out actions that are a lack of gratitude for who God is and all that God's done. So we've been designed for a thankful life and a thankful heart. They lived this out in a way that was very destructive. And verse 11 says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. So all of these things, all four of those things that we mentioned, idolaters, sexual immorality, they were not thankful, they were kind of just testing God in so many ways, they weren't, and they were also complainers. Think about the amount of things that we complain about. You know, I saw a great post from some friends in Africa. They were taking a picture of this little group there in, I don't know where they were. So it looked like it's Central Africa. And there was just this little, I mean, it wasn't barely, I wouldn't call it a tree, but they did, but I wouldn't. It was just kind of this shrub thing. And they had gotten some other sticks and they were trying to put some things up. And I mean, then it shows another picture of them gathered there, having a Bible study and having a worship session there, you know, together. And they said, well, we're still trying to gather some more sticks and stuff to make some kind of a more shelter for them, but it didn't stop them from gathering. And I just thought, wow, we've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, we get, oh my gosh, I'm too warm. It's constant for us as human beings. You know, we're so caught up in our comforts and everything. Now I'm looking at that picture of them. They're worshiping up under a couple of twigs, you know, under this shrub thing. And we got so much to be thankful for, but instead we complain. It's our nature apart from Christ. That's not, remember we just read about the new nature. The new nature is not that. But the old nature kind of pops its head up, you know, and kind of gets into the whiny, complainy thing, right? And so that's what was going on in this. Their eyes weren't fixed on gratitude and the goodness of God, that God had delivered them from Egypt. Egypt represents the old life in the world that we once had. We've been delivered from that. Would you turn to Romans very quickly? Romans chapter 1. And this answers a lot of things for me personally. Anyway, it really helps me to see some things in the right understanding or right light, as it were. Again, this is just kind of some of the negative aspect, or what happens when we are not grateful. So any of those things can happen to us. If I'm starting to complain, or you're starting to complain, or you find yourself kind of murmuring in your mind or under your breath, or, you know, you find yourself, we do this. We gotta be honest with ourselves. It happens to us. But what's going on is really, that's an expression of I'm not thankful. And so what we want to do is adjust that and become thankful. And we're going to talk about how that process can happen. But before we do, there's one other thing that I think is very important. In verse 20 of chapter 1 of Romans, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." This is speaking of God's design, who he is clearly seen, being understood by all the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, all we have to do is look at creation itself, because creation itself cries out for some kind of explanation as to how did we get here? How did this get here? How did this happen? When we look at all the stars, and we were shooting off these things last night. They're these little helicopter things that you push this little button and this little light comes off, and then you pull it with a rubber band. I have small grandchildren. So I wouldn't be doing this except I possibly could, but I was only doing this because I have small grand. So I hook these little rubber band thing. I'm shooting them up in the sky, and you know, we can shoot them at night because they come down and this light's on and they really look cool. And we were watching all these, and the two oldest grandkids that were out there with me are going, they're looking, because you were looking up and we're doing it, it's dark, and they're seeing the little light and they go, look at all the stars up there too. And then we start talking about the story, you know, talking about God created all these things. So they're looking up, they're seeing all this stuff. Man, don't lose the opportunity of those little moments of wonder that happen. Man, it's great. That has nothing to do with anything, but just a fun story. No, it did have something to do with looking at the creation itself and seeing, and it demands some kind of explanation. And so, because in verse 20, although they knew God, in other words, they're seeing that God must have done something to do this. They did not, this is the issue, they did not glorify him as God. They did not give him the glory due for his creation and what he's done, nor were thankful. They didn't have a grateful heart, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And I think that tells me a little bit about sometimes when the darkness can set in. My older brother and I were talking one time, and he was telling me, he goes, "Yeah, I just struggle with a little bit of, you know," he was just talking basically about what depression can be like for him. And sometimes I said, "Wow, really, dude? You know, I just didn't know that." And we were talking about it, and I go, "What happened? I don't know really what happens, you know?" And he goes, "Well, it's just kind of like, do you remember?" He goes, "Remember when we were kids at the beach house?" And, "Oh yeah." And we were hanging out, and then all of a sudden it's a nice day, it's sunny, it's just like this, right? But any of you who live near the coast or know what it's like to be on the coast sometimes, have been out there, watch, all of a sudden there's this cloud bank offshore, and all of a sudden it just kind of rolls in. He goes, "It's like that. It's just this darkness just kind of, just, you see it, you kind of see it coming a little bit, but then all of a sudden you're just kind of engulfed in it." And that was his description of kind of struggling with a bit of depression. I thought, "Oh wow, okay, that makes sense." And for us, we see humanity, and we're not exempt from that, even as Christians, right? Because you still are a what? You're still a human, right? Even though you're born again. But it's a something that we all struggle with. The clouds kind of blow in sometimes. And one of the things that can happen that can be very beneficial is adjust your thankful meter a little bit. It'd be better to even go into maybe a slight overkill on your thankful meter. Because when we are thankful, it somehow expands the light in our lives. When we're ungrateful, when we start to focus only on ourselves and our wants and what we think we should have, all the things about us, it starts to come in and it closes in and the darkness can come in. The darkness was directly associated with a lack of thankfulness, a lack of being thankful. So we can see that true of any of us, and we're with certainly without hope. Some of these I'm going to read quickly so you can note them. If you have the ability to move quickly with them, that's great. 1 Corinthians 15 also gives us a little insight to this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God." It talks about this victory we have over sin and death, that this victory we have because of what God has done for us. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so important for us, we want to have a thankful heart, because in a thankful heart we find victory, and we really find victory over the darkness that's there. It doesn't mean that you still don't experience some kind of being bummed at times, or that's not what I'm talking about. But you can still have victory in it and work your way through it by focusing on what God has done and who God is in your life. Victory is ours, and certainly the ultimate victory is ours. We touched on something in the new nature, which talked about that love, and I told you that in verse 14. I had mentioned to you in verse 14, it said of Colossians, it had said, "But above all these things, put on love," which is the bond of perfection. Put on. That's part of that new, it's like kind of, if you've ever, you know, bought a new shirt or a new top or something, you know, and you go into your closet, and you, oh man, you know, it's there. It's nice. You got that. It's yours to wear, but you still need to what? Put it on, right? That's what it's talking about here. It's there. It's in your closet. You have to put it on. That's an initiative on us. It's there. We just have to put it on. And so one of the things is that love being the bond of perfection. I believe that love has a unique desire. And so I'm going to give you four things that are connected to a thankful heart. And this is, the first one is connected to that. Love desires to please. It's something we want to do. We want to please our loved one. We want to please our spouse. We want to say and do things that are pleasing unto the Lord, especially when we have that grateful heart. The first one we find in Psalm 69, the 69th Psalm. Sometimes people ask me, they'll say, "Man, wouldn't it be a lot easier if you just printed all this stuff out on your notes and so you wouldn't have to look it all up?" Oh yeah, I do that sometimes. I have full capability. But you know what? If I do that, we're not on the same page. I'm serious. I do this because it's better, because you know what? When we're doing this, we're all doing this together. We're looking up the scripture and we're going to find it. It's Psalm 69. And if you look at Psalm 69, beginning with verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves." Better than that kind of sacrifice that could be made. That thanksgiving that you offer to the Lord, that thankful heart, that those words, those songs that are expressive, those things we say and do, word and deed, that expression that we have, it pleases God. So the first thing I would say that's so important about this thankful heart, it's our nature for sure. We can see that our sin nature, what it does, it pulls us into darkness, right? You know, because we're not thankful. It's not a natural thing for us to be grateful. We're prideful. We don't want to humble ourselves, because being grateful involves humility. It involves an acceptance that God has done things for us and is doing things for us. But the first one is, I think it's simple, that love that we talked about in verse 14 of Colossians 3, that love that God's placed, part of your new nature also is that love. It desires to please. And I would say this is important. The first thing is that a thankful heart and offering up thanksgiving is pleasing to God. And that love in you wants to do things that are pleasing to God. And having a thankful heart is one of those things that you and I can do. I am not saying that this is all inclusive, that that's not the only thing you can do. I'm saying that is one of the things, though, that you and I can do is express thanksgiving. The second thing I would say is out of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So if you're looking for that in the Old Testament, that would be a challenge. So it's in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians is. And if you found Timothy, then you've gone a little bit too far. Just back up a little bit and you'll come across 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a memory verse that many of us have known. Verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. But our key verse is verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oh, so I've been praying and wondering, what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? If you name yourself as a Christian, this is part of God's will for your life. It's not complicated, straightforward. Part of that would be, it is God's will that in everything we give thanks. So, it is God's will for our lives. The first one was, it pleases God. The second one, it's God's will. It's God has an intent, a will meaning he has a desire, something for you, something for me. There's something that he's looking for us. And that desire that he has for us is that we would be expressing a thankful heart in everything. And I think that's part of the challenge, don't you find? Because in everything, give thanks. Wow. In everything. Just keep that one noted in your mind for a moment. In everything. And then Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. It's a similar verse. It says, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name, or that thing we talked about, the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in him. We're found in him. And he says, giving thanks always for all things. Now, this is where I personally find it to be a bit challenging. All things, always. I think that's challenging because there are a lot of difficult things that happen for all of us, aren't there? A lot of difficult seasons, challenging times, times of great loss, personal loss. You can go through very dark days sometimes. Real challenges that rock us right to the core of our being and our journey with God. It can be very, very, very difficult sometimes. And things can seem okay externally, but inside we're nuclear. We know what's actually happening. And one of the things that I see with this is that to say all things at all times is just, I find to be very, very, very challenging. I found a what I would say would be kind of a helpful hint on it, or a helpful little solution or thought, and we'll kind of explore this a little bit. So we know it pleases God. It's something that pleases him. We also know that it's his will for us in all things from those last two verses. But there's, if we do this, it produces something. There's a byproduct of being thankful. There's something that's going to happen in you and in me as we do this. James 1:2 says, brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And so there's this byproduct that happens when we're going through difficulty, and especially when we're still able to thank God for who God is. We can be in difficult times and we can turn on God, the very one that can help us. And oftentimes inside ourselves, we do. We have a tendency to turn, well, God, why are you? We've all done it. Trust me. Why did you let me lose my wedding band, God? You know, no. But things happen inside our minds. We assess blame and fix it on all kinds of different things. But the reality is, even though there's difficult seasons, times of great loss, times of difficulty, God's wanting to do something in that. Remember, Romans 8:28 is still in your Bible. Last time we looked. All things, not some, but all things are working together for good, for the good, for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So, do all things work for good for just anybody and everybody? No. It's for you. It's for the follower of Christ. It's for the believer. That's how things are working good. And so, this thing that it's producing, I find in Colossians 2. I know it's a little jumping around. But just stay with me. Bear with me. You'll see this as it kind of wraps into its conclusive thoughts. But in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it." What does it say? Abounding in it with thanksgiving. That what's bound up in all of this is a thankful heart. Us being rooted and grounded just isn't in knowledge or information. Information isn't going to get you into everlasting life. What gets you and I into everlasting life is who we know, not what we know. And because you know Jesus Christ, you've got the gift of everlasting life. What a wonderful thing. What a treasure that is. And that knowledge of that, there's this expression, even in the midst of difficulties and trials, there's an expression. Galatians 5:22 tells us that that's an expression of joy. And that expression is part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Joy is part of the fruit of God's Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. We know it's encompassed in that love, but it's part of the outworking is joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering. And as we go through that, we realize that that thankful heart that I have or I can choose to have doesn't negate the reality of the trial or the difficulty, does it? It's just saying, you know, I'm not sure why all this is going like this. But I know that God is good and that God has a purpose in this difficulty. And when you and I do that, it is such an illumination, an expression of something to others who are watching yours and my life. Because they're seeing that and they're going through difficulties, but they don't have the same hope. They don't have the same love, the same peace. And they don't know to be thankful the way you and I would know to be thankful for God's goodness and his care for us. It is something that is produced in and through our lives, this joy that's produced by being thankful even in difficulty. You say, I can't find anything to be thankful for in the midst of difficulty. Well, we'll see. We're not done yet. We'll see if we can't find a few things. The next thing I would say, if we go back to 2 Corinthians just for a second, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Again, talking about this victory that we have in Jesus. He says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us." This is interesting in light of what we've been discussing. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." That's either true or it's not. Our lives are either triumphant in Christ, and what is said here is really true, or it's not. It's not possible that, you know, well, sometimes, no, God is always means what? No matter whether it's in Greek or whatever, it still means always. It's in all things, in all circumstances, in all situations. And through us, okay, now, as we are working through this process and we're saying, okay, I want to be thankful even in the midst of a difficulty. I want to have a thankful heart. I'm expressing a thankful heart. And as I know that God is ultimately going to work out a victory and is triumphant in this, I don't know how, I don't know in what way, but, and through us, as we are working through this process, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So that means amongst one another as Christians, we would be able to be encouraging to one another by releasing that fragrance by a thankful heart, even in difficult seasons. When we're doing that, is an encouragement to me, an encouragement to you. It's an encouragement to one another if we're releasing that. In other words, it's something that's sensed by others around. You know, I pick up my little granddaughter, and as little girls would be, she snuggles into my neck. She breathes in deep. She goes, "Oh, you smell good, Grandpa." You know, I always use like an aftershave, you know, and you know, she's one of the only ones that gets close enough to me, you know, other than my wife. She's the only ones that get close enough to me. It's a fragrance that's released, right? Well, in the same sense, there's something released when we're around one another and we're thankful and we have a heart of thanksgiving. There is an expression, as we just talked about from joy, because joy is something that comes from what? That's not from your circumstances. Remember, joy is not happiness necessarily. Joy is something that comes up from within because of God's presence within us. It's something that it's not external. It's internal. And so God uses that, and that's that fragrance that's released, not only to one another in the church family, in the body of Christ, and that's awesome, but it's also to those who are perishing. The world around us that's watching you, watching me, how do we deal with our circumstances and situations in our lives? So, number one was, it pleases God. Number two was, it is his will. Again, being thankful. It produces a perspective that leads to an expression of abundant joy. That's what happens when we have a thankful heart, even in the midst of our trials and difficulties. So it produces something in our lives that's good. And it also releases a lingering presence of God. That's so cool. Now, if you worked at the wastewater treatment plant, we would want you, if you were able, to take a shower before you got together with us. Because you're going to be releasing a different fragrance, right? You get the idea? What are you rolling around in? You see, what are you trafficking in? What's really going on? And out of the mouth come the issues of the heart, the Bible says. Jesus said that. So out of our mouth, out of our life, come the issues, you know, come really what's going on inside comes out of us. Word and deed is really part of the fragrance that's expressed. Whether it's be at the wastewater treatment plant or it be from being hanging out with the Lord. We want it to be from the latter, right? From hanging out with the Lord. That's what we want released. Our flesh stinks. That's just the way it is. There's no getting around it. In conclusion, let's wrap this thought up in chapter 9. You don't have to leave 2 Corinthians. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. We like the KISS theory here, right? Keep it simple, saints. We made our change on that. Our Holy Spirit transfer. Keep it simple, saints. This is your go-to verse for the rest of this week and maybe the rest of the days that we walk this earth. This should be our go-to verse. Chapter 9, verse 15. I made it a short one. I made it a memorable one. I made it one we can hang on to. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, Something's gone Job style on you, anybody who's ever read through the first few chapters of Job know what happened to Job. If something's gone Job style for you in your life, and it happens, you and I have at least one super huge thing to be thankful for, and that is the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross, where he was our substitute. He stepped in on our behalf and took all of our sin, all of our shame upon himself on the cross. Even if everything else has gone bad, even if everything else is disastrous, the gift that you have is everlasting life. And everlasting life lasts for everlasting. Right? This is temporal. This is very temporal. But eternity keeps going on and on and on. And that gift is yours. And no matter what else is happening, if you and I can turn back to that and say, well, you know what? All hell's broken loose in my life, and all the screws have come out, and everything's gone bad, and you know, everything's a disaster. But you know what? I've got you. And you love me. And you gave your life for me that I might have life. And you know what? That's a lot to be thankful for. Because that's for all eternity. We're going to spend all eternity thanking God for it. He's been so good to all of us. And I dare say most of us have many, many, no greater gifting than that, but certainly that. I read part of a psalm this morning that ties into this in the 107th Psalm. Just a couple of verses of it that specifically tie to that same thought that we just... Oh, give thanks to the Lord in verse 1 and 2, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You see, we've been redeemed. Every one of us that know Jesus have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And someone who's been redeemed, it's only natural to be grateful and to be thankful to the Redeemer. We've been redeemed. We are the recipients of redemption. We've been redeemed by a Redeemer. And our Redeemer lives to this moment, on out into eternity, and we get to live with him. That's the greatest gift. So when you're thinking through Thanksgiving, you're thinking through a time, and there's bickering around your home and all the craziness that can ensue in family gatherings and stuff. I got a family. I know how it goes. So, but you know, all the things, all the craziness that can go on and all the pressures of just go here and do this and do that and all the things. We're coming into that busy season, right? I'm hoping that we can think about that one verse, that simple verse of being thankful to God for that indescribable gift, that incredible gift of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for that constant love that you have for us. Lord, would you cause us to be mindful of your presence and your love? Would you cause us, Lord, to be thankful in our hearts, Lord? We don't want our hearts to become darkened with a lack of gratitude, or in our world today, in our Western culture, the entitlement is so overpowering. That I deserve it, I'm owed it, attitude and mentality. Lord, we want to be in tune with you. And as new creation in you, as people who are called by your name, Christians, that Lord, we would be expressing back to you a grateful, thankful, humble heart, Lord. You are certainly worthy of that. And so we want to tell you that we love you, Lord. We thank you for your kindness and goodness. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.